We're not gonna use it for a while.
Call this agenda, I mean this agenda, this finance audit facilities planning committee meeting to order at 6:10. Ms. Cortez, if you could please take a roll.
Mr. Armando Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Patricia Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Rachel Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Montese?
Okay, now take us to the next agenda.
Agenda 2A, review warrant list for September 1st through the 30th, 2011, to include discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
And I'll start off with Ms. Montana. Do you have any questions, Ms. Montana?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay.
And basically, I think this is just moved back to the format.
Okay.
And, but it just leaves questions for me, okay?
Okay.
We're going to start on page 1 of 136.
Mm-hmm.
And my question here is, on the 9th campus improvement planning software, is this a software that's needed for what? Or
it's the software that was purchased for the improvement plans that we need to, what we call the campus, the SIPs, the DIPs.
And all campuses are going to get it?
Yes, district-wide, actually.
District-wide. And then it has a 2.5-day training?
Yes.
Okay, and then we move on to page 2. And again, it just, there's not much information on here, just one thing, it starts on page 1 and then it goes on to page 2 and all it says is travel registration. Does it say for who, what, where, when?
Okay. And that's still part of the additional information that we're needing to include within the line items.
And I see a lot of people have done a really good job about it, but still other people are not quite there.
Okay.
That I knew when I was looking through this, this is what a lot of it is coming down to. We just have to make sure that everybody's on board, inputs the right information, or enough information to us. So then, okay, then the next one is on page 3, and it's All American Glass and Mirror. And this is this for different campuses? Is it on vandalism, for the break glass during the night, or?
I will have to find out.
Mr. Armendariz?
Yes.
Because I know there have been problems with
it
that.
It is. It's all, it's mostly, well, it is all vandalism.
Is a lot of it from the high school, or is it just from different?
It's. Pretty much, it's pretty much centered around AMS, CES, and basically those two campuses.
Basically those two campuses?
And DVD.
And it's just vandalism?
Vandalism, yes.
Are there any cameras or anything that catch?
We don't have cameras there, no. But we, at AMS, we're installing new lighting to help out.
Okay, that's all. Thank you.
Ms. Mendoza?
I just concur with Ms. Quintana's description, needing more, a little bit more information. And then I just have one question. On page 133 of 136, and I think probably Mr. Avendares would be the best one. Do we just keep on track with Watson Pest Management, or do we? I know in the past we used to have two.
At this point, I think we currently have a contract with them.
They're the only ones. They do not only the schools but the cafeteria.
They do the schools and the cafeteria.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you.
So.
Okay.
You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
And you want Steve to make sure that the yellow parts are noted.
Not on the plumbers and the professors, but this is on our...
Mr. Rose, do you have any questions?
I do. I also agree with Mrs. Mendoza and Mrs. Quintana. A lot of unanswered questions, so I'm going to go through and ask all of them of you, actually. One overriding thing, and I see this also throughout the entire warrant list, who lost all the checks? There are so many checks that were lost in the mail. What happened?
Because of the way that the system, the team system is set up, we've had several issues as far as the data that crossed over from the SIMS into the team. We had where the addresses were kind of continuous instead of breaking it up to name, street, city, and then zip code. Some addresses were missing the zip codes. And so in the last couple of weeks, we've been able to clear up all the issues associated with that.
So did all of those come back to us?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we knew they were lost in the mail and we sent them back out again? Okay. That'll answer a lot of them. That was the first one that I saw was on page 3 at the top of the page. On page 6, we've got Apple computer sales for $29,370.
This was part of the last set of ARRA funds that we purchased the iPads mm-hmm. for the special ed department.
Okay. So special ed?
Yeah, this is idea of these ARRA funds.
Page 9, $555.90 for travel lodging. I know they stayed at the Austin Marriott North. That's all I can tell.
That's it.
Page 11, another check lost in the mail, the reason looks the same. Page 15, Chevron, we've got gasoline service fees for a total of $112.51.
Okay. I will need to look into it a little bit more.
Sure.
And so that I can provide.
Okay. Page 17 is the beginning. It's Desert Communications for $25,994. It was, looks like, for 24 headsets. I don't know what a headset is.
Okay. This is also, well... The 25, if you go to page 18, the mm-hmm. very first grouping, the Mimeos, that is also through ARRA funding, mm-hmm. and it was for the special ed department. I believe it was headset.
Okay. Page 36, at the top of the page, for $1,700.06. Travel lodging at the Wilshire Grand Hotel, but no further information. Page 37, same thing, Hilton, Minneapolis for $1,038. No. Description. Page 39. Looks like Indeco sales for $25,372.90.
This is food service. It looks like it could have been cafeteria tables, but I couldn't.
And that's why they're off color?
Yes.
I mean, they're built service. Okay.
Page 66. Halfway down the page, We've got check amount for $9,906.41. And under the check detail, it's got a whole bunch of furniture. And it looks, I was wondering who got the furniture?
Was it the Northwest?
No, this is a Career and Technology. It was a Career and Technology purchase. It looks like she...
001.
Well,
I think that's it.
There was a Career and Technology, then that we also have purchases from the elementary. It's a big purchase, and it looks like it was Starbucks supplies at the various campuses and departments. And they all totaled $9,000.
Okay. So the furniture then, who was the recipient of the furniture?
And which CE, one? I think. It has a 001.
And my real question, the overarching question is, was it paid for with the correct funds? I mean...
And you said it's page 66?
Uh-huh.
It is. It is the amount.
Yeah, I just don't see where the furniture is.
See, description.
Miranda, multifunction, right back.
Oh, down here. Below okay. it. Oh, that's it. Exactly. That's the, that's at the hydrographic arts classroom, the brand new classroom that we put in. And that is, we had to get all the furniture. That's for the math lab.
Okay, and it's...
It's in.
But the furniture...
Yes, and it was in. It was from career ed funding.
Great. And everything's good to pay for it with
that? It's counseling. We're talking about counseling and administration.
Oh, I thought they said Miranda.
The funding is correct. It's local funds that they use.
Okay.
So that one above it. That one will be coming up too.
Okay, I just want to check and double check that.
Yes.
When we do the Apple Lab opening, we're going to do a grand opening ribbon cutting. We'll invite everyone to it.
Page 73 for $575.52, the Omni Marina Hotel. No description. Page 78, to Plan B Networks, we got a $4,053 camera.
This is for Garcia Elementary?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's Garcia. It's there, guys. And it says it's for instructional. I have to get more information.
Please. Okay.
High-speed cameras. Yeah, high-speed cameras are very expensive. It's not a regular. It's not a regular.
It might be like an Elmo camera. Or one of those projectors, but I will find out for you.
Thank
just
you.
To make sure.
On page 101, our SAMS account. I was just wondering, how long was that for? You know, does it build and you write them a check, or
we pay monthly.
Monthly.
Actually, we pay as soon as we have enough invoices. There's a lot of activity that we do through there for the clubs and campuses, in general. And so, as soon as we collect enough invoicing, we do just submit.
Page 108, and this I just don't understand. Looks like we're paying Sierra Springs and paying them for different things, but $1.14 I see right at the top, and I thought, who just got a bottle of wine?
No, I'll find out what that was.
Okay, and right above that are the gasoline service fees once again. Do you see those?
Yes.
Okay. Page 117, we got carpet and flooring and put it in.
This looks like it was purchased by
this was one of the early projects.
That, I was hoping you were going to say
yeah,
that.
For the band.
Okay, good.
Page 119 again, we've got travel conference registration, but doesn't say who's going. It looks like they're going to the science teachers conference, but there's two different checks, and all it's saying is registration. No detail, please. Page 123 is a whole big lump of checks lost in the mail again, and you've explained, I sure hope it gets better for you. That's got to be very frustrating. Page 124, travel registration down at the bottom, Texas Association of Supervisors of Mathematics. And my last question is, maybe I just couldn't find it, but you know how normally at the end we've got all the totals. Mm-hmm. You've got, I could not come up with that.
Okay, what we've done is, there's a second section if you will see the employee mm-hmm. reimbursement.
Yes.
So it's a total of the 1.2 million.
Yes.
Plus the 5.4. They didn't
okay.
total them up, but we can get that total up for you.
But you know how it usually breaks it down?
By fund?
Exactly.
Okay.
This report
was created by us, and I'll make sure
okay.
we add that to it.
Yeah, it was always good to wrap up at the end, too.
Okay.
See where everything came from. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Quinnell?
I just have one offshoot question about the on page 19, the cleaning supplies. Are we still purchasing from springtime, and are we having different vendors now for the cleaning supplies? Did we ever get rid of them completely, or?
I don't think we have a contract with springtime. I'm not sure. I'd have to look into it.
Okay. Just you know, because about 4 years back, we had a contract with them. Remember, Mr.
Right, we canceled that contract. This is probably some specific items for like a vacuum cleaner repair or something. Is it epilepsy? Springtime.
Well, I guess he's wanting to know if we use springtime.
Yeah, do we still use them for?
Not very often, just when we have to buy a part for a vacuum cleaner or something.
For stuff like that?
Yeah, Ecolab, we still use them. We actually stock their products in the warehouse.
Quite a bit.
For distribution, and also the food service uses them a lot.
Okay.
Dishwashing chemicals.
Okay, so we're
not using them for
springtime. We're just going out because I've seen some of them in the past, and I just wanted to.
Very little with springtime, just repair parts for vacuum.
And more of the ecological. Okay, that's the only question. Thank you.
That's it?
That's it.
Ms. Gonzalez?
No questions.
I have one question just on the Apple computer on the I guess what was it, page 6? That's out of our funding. Is that correct?
Yes.
And where are those tablets going to be distributed?
I believe it was for student use. I know we've replied on this one. Let me pull out that information and I'll provide it on the Friday packet.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's it. Are we in agreement to recommend it, or did you have another?
I just have one last comment, and it's nothing. On page 18, and this is for the board. Aurora Anaya Dyer, it was paid for contracted services, and they also do wonderful team building. Her and Jackie, and I just, thought, if we ever could use them in the near future, I think it would be beneficial.
I agree completely. I missed that totally.
Yeah.
Sure. Did you take one?
I apologize.
When's the next team building session?
Oh, team building is the Tuesday after Thanksgiving, which is the 29th, is our first date that we're looking at. And the second date is the second Tuesday of December.
Did you hear what
I apologize. I apologize. Were you? I apologize. Patsy, one more.
I noticed that on page 18.
One of my problems is I don't have a copy of this.
Okay. We paid Aurora Dyer, I don't know if you know who she is, $500 to come in and I know that her and her husband, Jackie, had told me that they do a wonderful team building that is geared toward superintendent and board. And I'm suggesting that maybe the board look at contracting with them as a source to come and provide some training for the school.
Okay. Another suggestion that we've had is to use CASB to come in. We wanted to use the Dyers. I know Jackie Dyer, name sounds really familiar to me.
Right, he was a ex-superintendent and it was right down his alley.
Right.
He and Aurora worked in the school systems for years.
So if you could consider that.
Yes, sir.
And then.
And I apologize. Anything
else? No, I'll repeat. Are we in agreement, committee members, to recommend it to the full board?
Yes, sir.
We're in agreement to recommend it to the full board. If you could please take us to next agenda items with you.
Agenda item 2B, review of district financials for September 1st through the 30th to include discussion and possible recommendation to the board of trustees.
Ms. Quintana, do you have any questions?
No.
Ms. Mendoza, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
Ms. Searles, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
Mr. Cornaro?
I do. I recall that we had asked for, and once we have a project determination of timelines and stuff and what to do, and I don't recall whether we had been, when we were going to ask our financial advisor to come recommend our investment strategy in terms of a stair step for the funds that are on deposit. We now have quite a few funds on deposit there.
I did speak with Maria Urbina from First Southwest on Friday, mm-hmm. and she is trying to set up I communicated with Ms. Urbina from First Southwest about the fact that we now have funds that we gave her a better picture as to long range and short range terms, and so they are working on something for us to prepare and submit for investments.
Okay. And the reason I'm asking for this is I want to see if we can get this on there because it goes on our first rating because of the investment returns on our funds. This probably may not figure into it because they're bond funds, but in terms of the other funds on deposit for M&O, I'd also like to review that, not just the bond funds, but the M&O in particular, to see where we're at, the strategies that's different from last year, to be able to, get a better return. I don't know what some of the other districts in the region are doing that are, half of them are actually getting more points on the first than us when, the funds are not horribly different than what we receive per student.
As I've been preparing for the first presentation, I did, within our region, there's only one district that actually two, I apologize, Anthony ISD and Clint, that actually got the points there. All the other districts did not. But I am still trying to figure out how we can better our situation and avoid.
We need to call them and see what they did.
With Anthony and Clint, yes.
Yeah, not only that, we also need to contact, we were going to contact TASB as well, and TEA about the figures in an economy when the interest rates went plummeted all the way down, why they haven't changed their first ratings as far as the amounts are concerned on the return on investment on their funds per student. They should have downgraded those amounts that we were required to do to earn points in light of a decrease in interest rates of probably over the last 3 years or 4 years, have probably what? I'm going to say two or 300% decrease. Is that about right?
That's about right.
You know, you figure that, that somehow they would tie the return on those amounts based on some index, some financial index. I mean, if we haven't sent that letter off to them, I think we need to ask them to contact TASB and TEA. That's the only question that I have on that. Mr. Chair.
Ms. Gonzalez?
No questions.
Okay. I have just on page 5, looking at the total investments, by, I mean total by investment pools. I requested, remember, the 3 years back on it? Not by fiscal year, but by total, by the investment pools. Not necessarily by what type of investment it is.
I provided a memo on a Friday packet when you requested that. I didn't realize you wanted it on the actual, so I gave you a printout, a breakdown of that.
No, on this one.
So you wanted it on that. Okay.
And then the other issue, looking at our tax collection, since July and August, now we end our fiscal year in July,
June 30.
We skip, well, that goes into the next fiscal year budget, the 57,000. But it, my concern is that it low in comparative to past years. It looks low, and if so, why?
You're referring to page 7, correct?
Yes.
Last year in September,
I'm looking more like at the months of July and August, and just because you know how when the tax bills actually go out compared to when the collection only starts taking place, even just on the July issue, it looks like it was skipped on the 2010-2011. Is that because we moved our fiscal year? Is that correct?
No, the fiscal year doesn't have anything to do with the way the collections come in. The new fiscal year for the tax collections is January 1st, so the increase in tax revenue that we're going to expect for the TRE would be reflected in on January 1st or a little, even December as the payments come through. I don't have, this is a copy of the last year's report for September. However, because last year it was the first year, first month of the fiscal year, I don't have that. I can go back and do a comparison, but as just with the information I have in front of me, September is now the third month of our fiscal year, and so I don't have the same comparisons for fiscal year 10. But the collections are usually very low at this point because the new the Central Appraisal District sees October 1st as they have a federal fiscal year.
And just looking at the 2009 comparison to the 2011, there's a significant drop, and that's what I was trying to.
Well, again, because right now we're seeing September as the third month of our fiscal year. If you would, the September of last year, which was the first month of our fiscal year. In other words, you're capturing more data here than. We've got right now on this month's financials based on our fiscal year change in months. But as far as the revenue, it's comparable. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense, but my concern is just, is there a reason why we might have not been at the same levels? Or, I mean, I'm sure I'll pick up towards
September of last year was 27,000. This month we collected 27.
So that's the September, but I'm looking at the month of July and August, that's what.
And I don't have that to compare to last year.
No problem.
I'll look into your question and see if I can present a better explanation on that.
Okay. And then the other thing is on the healthcare fund. I think, was it 2012 the year where we increased the amount of contribution the district was going to get so it could be healthier?
This current year.
Mm-hmm. It looks pretty good. Well, actually, I'm reading it backwards, but we're excess over revenues for this year is only $10,000?
Yes. We had $1 million in claims in September versus last year we had $380,000. So there have been a significant amount of claims submitted in this last month.
And when does that end? Or is this the start of the...
Our fiscal year would go through June 30th on the date. I know we're going to have an open enrollment again for a January start, but the premiums collected would be for the 2011-12 fiscal year that the district observes from July 1 to June 30th.
Okay. That's all I have. Or wait, Doug. Go ahead.
I have one other question that comes to mind with respect to the remaining bond funds that are on deposit from the 2006 bond. Because of the time period that we've held on to these funds, and I think it would have been when the last part that we sold was probably in 07, I believe. I'm trying to remember whether we've had this question answered to us by our financial advisors or not. Because of the amount of time and the interest we're gaining on it, I know the interest is very low, but I think there's also an issue with respect to the time period that we keep these bond funds and don't use them. And then it becomes an arbitrage issue. Have we taken a look at that and are we okay?
I did ask our financial advisors as to, and this was several months ago, and prior to the consideration of the new bond election, I did ask whether or not we were at risk of penalties. And at that time, they had said we were okay because, of course, our interest is not nearly there. However, there was a time frame at that time because the assumption was that we would be sending them in the next 12 months. That wasn't a concern. I will double check and make sure that we're not at risk.
Would you sometime soon, because then it might urge the board to consider spending those bonds on other projects that are ongoing and then just replenish them with the others so that we don't run into paying penalties back to the federal government on the arbitrage, or rather to state. Dr. Murphy.
Through the chair. Bond counsel Braden, what's his first name?
Paul.
Sent me an email, and I apologize, Mark, I should have forwarded it to you. He has been in contact with Steve Blanco, and Steve is going to have some information for us at the next board meeting. There does need to be a motion made. Bond Council is counseling us that a motion needs to be made that will allow 2006 bond monies and 2011 bond monies to be spent on similar projects. So we could use it for other things, but the board needs to make a motion. And he wrote an email to me. I'll put it in the Friday packet tomorrow.
Okay.
Basically saying that as long as the board makes a motion and it's out in public, that there's a way to continue without any penalties or anything.
Well, why don't we take a look at that and maybe put an agenda item for this
for Wednesday, yeah.
Next Wednesday.
And I'll put it in Friday packet. And Steve was also aware of it. And in fact, I think one of the reasons I didn't do anything with it was he sent it to me and Steve. And Steve said, I'll look into this. And then I didn't hear anything again. So that's why it's kind of stalled. That was yesterday morning, actually. So I'll figure it out and I'll get it to you.
Okay.
Should we then have our financial advisors give an update on the arbitrage and the other thing that you were looking at, Mr. Cornell?
I don't know if they're available for next week. If they are, fine. If not, then the following meeting.
Yeah.
I'd just like to see something. One, the arbitrage. The other two is the investment issue. But apart from that.
Okay. So those two issues that they're able to present on Wednesday's meeting. Anything else? Or?
Okay. You want the financial advisors at Wednesday, if possible, to do arbitrage and
investment.
Investment.
investment
on the 2011 one.
If they're okay to do the investment issue now, if they have enough information from us. If they don't, then that's fine. The other issue on the investment I wanted to know is our own issue in terms of investment as to what we're doing to be able to gain points on the first rating. And I don't know if we really need to contact them or not about it, but maybe so.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it for me.
Okay. Anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No.
I just have one thing. Martha, I was looking for a detailed report to see the actual billing from legal counsel. And I noticed it. No, ma'am. At least I didn't see it.
It was getting placed in the warrant list. They did not. I will provide a copy of it.
Thank you.
Anything else?
That's right.
Are we in agreement to recommend the financials to a full board?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2C, compliance calendar review.
Okay. Ms. Quintana, do you have any questions? Do the compliance calendar? Mendoza?
No, sir.
Ms. Charles? It's on page 4.
Yeah, page 4. I don't think so. I think I was very well informed with it. Thank you.
Mr. Fernando?
No, I don't have any questions. I know you provided an update on the pending TEA response. Any ideas when?
You know, the last action on that was on September 21st. We sent in and submitted the action plan. That same day, we got confirmation of receipt from TEA, and the TEA auditor that responded indicated that Rhea Copany, who was the lead auditor on the actual audit, she is going to be the one taking the responsibility to review our plan and get back to us. However, they did not provide any ETA on when she'd be getting back. The email literally just said, as she has time, she will review the plan and get back to us.
So that's been about 3 weeks?
Yes.
Okay.
And again, I guess in considering the reduction in personnel that TEA had, I have to figure that that's part of kind of, you know, she was, you know, Scopney was one of kind of the personnel that they did manage to keep, but, you know, they're not giving any ETA in terms of what they're going to get back to us.
Okay. Yeah, they're a little slim on their personnel.
If I do, you know, and I'll kind of continue to touch base, and if I do get any kind of a firmer date, I will kind of communicate that back to them.
All right, that's fine. Thank you.
Especially on the 2007-2008, the findings of 4, it says verification in the process.
Yes.
When are we looking at closing out all this?
I'm hoping within the next couple of months, as I kind of indicated in the last month, I'm running a little behind, just given a lot of the different things that have come up, and this is the first month I've actually started to kind of get into it. I've kind of the initial look, that's why it says in process at this moment. Hopefully by next month I'll be able to kind of provide a firmer outcome in terms of these 4 items. But I do want to say that based on the attendance at the recent TASB conference, I did attend a session specific to school transportation efficiency best practices, and that's one of the things that we want to kind of factor into this, because the information that's been provided thus far does seem to indicate that, you know, bus routes have been evaluated, and we have seen some kind of increased ridership and linear densities, and as a result of that, increased funding from TEA. Whether or not they're at the optimal level, that's something that we can kind of take a further look on. I know that, for example, the information that's been provided thus far in terms of the second item, restructuring and reorganization of the transportation department, that has also taken place to the extent that they've also added one dispatcher and one time card adjuster, but again, whether or not that's at an optimal state, you know, that kind of has yet to be determined. Third item there has to do with just specific documentation of the process for assigning extra run assignments, that kind of thing. We have that information. Is it optimal? And then the last item is a matter of reading the time card information specific to transportation employees, and that we're literally in the process of kind of little by little getting the information so that we can kind of do a holistic review of that as well. So that's kind of what we mean by verification is in process. Hopefully within the next month, I'll be able to come back and have a little bit firmer, more detailed update.
Part, I guess when some of the audit and the stuff that was on there, correct?
Yeah, I believe if memory serves, the transportation audit was actually scheduled to initiate either August, September timeframe, but actually extends for several months because based on all the other activities, it was allocating, you know, a certain number of hours per month in context to all the other activities that were going on.
And I guess my concern is I would like to see, especially the 2007, 2008, even the 2009 projects, if we're looking at certain issues, whether it's your office auditing and seeing what those bus routes, I don't know what is optimal or who would provide that information.
I'll present this as tentative information, but in the context of these findings, for example, the action item was to have the transportation department evaluate the bus routes. Based on the information provided, they have done that. The audit will then kind of take another look and see, and then part of it is going back to TEA specific regulations saying,
then if it's already been done, wouldn't we be able to close that project out or whatever?
And that's what I'm anticipating to do within the next month for these items. That may or may not coincide with the actual completion of the audit, but my approach is basically because we've got that information and because now I'm essentially able to start looking at this, even if it's in a small piece, I can kind of basically look to resolve these items first, and then anything in terms of further improvement would be a separate recommendation of the actual audit, separate from these items.
Is that
this one?
Mm-hmm. And on the 2009, that one says pending completion.
Yeah, on that one, if you remember from last month, 8 of the 9 campuses had basically completed the update to their faculty handbooks. We reported that one of the 9 campuses essentially did not have a faculty handbook, and that's why that particular action has not been completed. As of September 30th, which is when this report was provided, that campus still, my conversation with the principal indicated that development of the faculty handbook is progressing very slowly. We did have a follow-up conversation to where, when you consider the risk related to this particular finding, it really centers more around the communication of teachers' responsibilities for textbooks and other instructional materials. And so in lieu of completing the faculty handbook, what that principal has done within the first week or so of October is sent an email to all of her faculty, essentially making sure that they're aware of the responsibility as an interim action until they are able to complete the faculty handbook.
And my thing, on the last summary report we had gotten in our Friday packet, one of the things that concerned me was just the amount of hours under the compensation audit of the superintendent.
Yes.
And the length of time that was spent on it. Can you?
And I just need to ask the question, is that allowed since that's separate from?
And I guess my concern is, I would like to see some of the 2007, 2008 stuff closed out. And that's why I was bringing up some of that other issue. And that's something that I hope next month on the next, we'll be able to see either them closed out or whatever your department sees fit to either corrective actions that need to be taken place or recommendations from your office. And that's why I brought out the other issue.
And I guess just to kind of get clarification in that last statement that you made in terms of ensuring that corrective actions are taken, that is not an additional audit responsibility. That is a responsibility with the respective administration. What my office does is essentially follow up and report the status. In regard to 3 of the 4 transportation related findings, again, because the corrective actions were essentially evaluate bus routes, which has already been done, reorganize a department, which to a certain extent has already been done. And the third item was document, you know, the business process. Again, to a certain extent has already been done. I'm fairly comfortable that the three of those items will be closed out by next month. The fourth item has to do with actually implementing the procedure and the practice to review basically the time of the staff. And that really is going to be a more extended one. I cannot guarantee you that that is going to be done by next month, but I can tell you that there will at least be further action in regard to that specific item. On the one item for 2009 regarding the development of the faculty handbook, that's going to be dependent on the time that it's going to take that particular campus to develop their faculty handbook. And what I can do is basically see if I can get them to commit to a specific ETA on when that will be completed. But in the meantime, we have at least gotten them to implement interim actions by communicating the responsibility to faculty members in lieu of completing the handbook at this time.
And that's what I want to see, whether it's a follow-up or whatever, and even the follow-up on the corrective actions that have been taken, if they were, I would like to see that, and that's what I'm trying to get at under those issues, especially more on the 2008, because I think
that's what I'd like to take a look at. I
would like to see what your office is actually, instead of just looking at or giving us a brief that we're in the process of it, I want to see where are we at in that process.
Okay. Understood. Okay.
So, I guess that would be it, unless anybody else has any other questions.
I have a question.
We had some issues with payroll over the last 30 days. Have we had any hotline calls or issues like that that have come to you regarding that specific issue?
Not regarding the specific issue of payroll.
Good.
No. Okay. So I guess that should be it. Any other question?
No.
That will take us to the next agenda.
Item 2D, discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding Equity Center legal action.
President, Chairperson Rodriguez, members of the committee, and other board members and audience, presented this on Tuesday night to Lenti's committee, and wanted to bring it to you, and then I'll bring it back on next Wednesday. Actually, Steve Blanco will present it on Wednesday. There is a strong desire from many school districts across the state and locally to join the Equity Center lawsuit. El Paso on Tuesday night agreed to do it, as did Isleta. I think last night Isleta did it. And talked with Ken Parker, the CFO at El Paso ISD, and he had called every district in the region, and he basically heard positive from every school district in the region. There's two main lawsuits. David Thompson, who is an education attorney out of Austin, has a lawsuit going forward that's based solely on the $4 billion that was cut and the idea of adequacy, asking for the $4 billion to be put back and maybe even more beyond that, but utilizing the same templates and the same funding formulas that were used prior to the cut. And that is what his is about. And a lot of the more wealthy districts, a lot of the districts that get a high target revenue are interested in basically just going back the way it was. And that's what David Thompson is really after. The Equity Center is agreeing with Mr. Thompson. They want the money back, just like Mr. Thompson wants. And actually, they're working together on that aspect of it. The Equity Center, though, is taking it one step further, and they're asking for the system to be ruled unconstitutional, and that reconstitution of the funding, that equity also be looked at, so that poverty districts serving low-income, more special needs students would be compensated for those extra burdens that they have, and that target revenue would be wiped away, and that wealthy districts would not receive the lion's share of the money in equity. In speaking with Paul Kohlberg, a lobbyist who has worked in the El Paso area for a long time, he strongly recommends that KDTO join the Equity Center lawsuit due to our TRE situation, due to the fact that we basically had to tax our people to make up for the cuts, because our revenues are so low that it would have really been a significant negative for us. And in looking at them, and I've provided at least twice in your packets, administration does strongly request and recommend that KDTO ISD join the Equity Center lawsuit. The cost of it is $1 per student, $1 per WADA, approximately $6,000, and it is a one-time fee. And I've already talked to Martha Aguirre. She can find the money to do it if the board so desires. And I'll open for questions and let you know that Steve will be presenting on this next Wednesday.
Anybody have questions or no? I strongly believe on the near the Equity Center that we should join. The only question that I have is, should we look at possibly both?
I know that I read an article today, John Folks, and I'm going to give it to you tomorrow on the Eagle, I mean in Friday Packet, our superintendent of the year, his district at Northside is going to join both. Or that's going to be his recommendation. They haven't decided yet. Can we afford it? Can we afford $12,000 to join the lawsuit? To join both? Is it necessary to join both? That's not the feeling I'm getting from like Ken Parker and Jimmy Laredo and those.
And my thing is, I mean, we're our own district, but the question I have is, on the adequacy part, it would be for short term, right? They're looking at putting back the four.
David Thompson's basically arguing just put it back the way it was in April.
So that's a short-term solution, and then the Equity Center is looking at the long-term.
Yeah, an unconstitutional ruling that is completely inadequate and inequitable, and that it needs to be totally rewritten. Kind of Robin Hood Part 2 is what the Equity Center lawsuit is after.
Okay. I don't know. I would like to see more information possibly on joining both, but I would recommend that we at least join the Equity Center at minimum.
You will remember also that last year we weren't members of the Equity Center. This year we are in full stand. So that won't be a problem either.
I think we need to join. It's only our duty, to do this. This the funding scheme is going to be declared unconstitutional. It's a matter of time, and it's probably going to take several lawsuits even after that before we finally get to issues. And then the legislature will do another deal, and then we're going to start right back to square one. This is an ongoing fight, guys, that is never going to end. But we need to keep at it, because otherwise, that's really one of the reasons why they've been able in our district to progress the way we have. And even so, we're still short. And there's still inequity in the system. And since the legislature made their Band-Aid solution, it's gotten even worse. Not just for poorer districts, for a lot more districts. And so now the funding problem and the disparity between the richer district is getting even bigger. And the problem that happened is when the legislature decided that they were going to redo the whole scheme back in 06, when they did, we did it, or in 05, they kind of pulled back and said, wait a minute, where are we going to get the funds to replace the funds we're going to get from the rich school districts? And all of a sudden they said, well, wait a minute, we're not necessarily going to do everything.
That's where target revenue came in.
And that's where target revenue came in. And that's where the issue came in on the, is it the
My mind just went blank.
Well, what it did was it allowed some of the wealthy. Is it chapter 41? No, we're chapter. Yeah. We're neutral. The wealthy districts in the Robin Hood set, target revenue let them keep more of their money.
Right.
They didn't have to distribute. And so it eroded the Robin Hood money.
Right. And anyways, the policies that were put in place resulted in an even worse disparity now.
Right.
Now even, now with this last move, even other districts, more districts are getting hurt.
Right. Well, every district got hurt this summer.
So, but it's not going to end.
No.
It's not going to end. This is, been going on for not 20 years.
It's going to get worse
ever since
forever.
The state.
And so we just have to think of it as a ongoing thing we have to do.
Or we could do what John Joyner, or Mr. Joyner, Tuesday night, he said, well, don't be careful what you ask for. We might become a wealthy district the next 15, 20 years. And then we'll argue the other side.
You know what? If we do, gladly share the money.
I would still argue.
Dr. Murphy gave a very nice response to that, that we were a fair district, and we would be happy to share.
We would be happy to do that. If we have it, we'd be happy to share with the rest of the state. They're Texans, too.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, let's get off my soapbox.
It was a good one.
I thought it was getting better in the state of Texas. And I guess, so do we need a recommendation, or actually there's just discussion.
Yeah, I think it's just
possible
discussion.
Recommendation. So there's a committee in agreement to recommend it. And then just on the next one, bring us some info on joining both. I would like to see that and see.
Okay, now.
I have a question.
Yeah.
How much is it? Can you look into see how much it costs to join the other one?
Yes, ma'am.
Please?
I'll get all that information now. In looking through the packet next Wednesday and joining the equity lawsuit, Equity Center lawsuit, there is a resolution that we will have to pass. And again, Steve Blanco will come to the podium and do the whole thing. Then as a separate item for information, I'll have it about the, you want to do information and possible action in case you do want to join?
What do you all want?
I have a question. Did you not tell us Tuesday night it'd be $6,000 to join?
It's $6,000 for the equity. I have not researched how much David Thompson's cost.
Okay, so for $6,000 we can join the equity.
That's
the resolution they have here.
Or
Wednesday night news.
And it's $1 per student WADA, so it's not exactly 6,000, but it's right there. It's a dollar per WADA. What's our WADA?
We're below 6,000, I believe, under the WADA.
I think we are.
50, whatever that
59.36.
Like
thank you, Chair.
So, okay.
Yes, sir.
And I did visit with the Equity Center people when we were in Austin just last few weeks ago. And part of what they do is that they really want a lot of the district. Right now, everybody's hurting, but they really need the help.
Yeah, and Paul Colbert, one of their senior consultants, he thinks Canyon Teo is a poster child because of what we had to do and how we had to tax our people due to their inability to balance their books. And he thinks we're a poster child for the lawsuit.
Yeah.
And I will let you know, there's another district now, Cedar Hill ISD, which is in South Dallas, is going out in November for a bond and a TRE on the same day. So,
have they called Spread Not?
I wrote the guy an email that long, and he didn't even write me back. So I don't know about all
that. They're all kind of down.
But there now is another district trying. We're the only ones, so we'll see if they join the elite club.
Okay. So we're in agreement to recommend it?
Yes,
okay.
So we're going to recommend the Equity Center full on, and then I'll bring back information on the other one.
Right. And possible action.
And possible action. Although, Chairman, it might be like we do one month and do the next one next month. Based on your discussion and all that.
Yeah, well, just have possible discussion.
Possible action, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay. For whatever it matters, on Tuesday night at Ms. Gonzalez's committee, we voted that we were good with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sounds great. So that will take us to the next agenda.
Next agenda item 2E, discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the Mobile Fund Accountability Committee.
Someone have the page number of this?
20.
Thank you. Chairman Rodriguez, committee members, other board members, and audience. On page 20 is the list of the 24 candidates who have applied over the last couple of months to be members of CBAC, and then behind page 20 are all the applications. And I'll turn it over to Gustavo, who kind of ran the show on this.
Yeah, well, I want to first address the concern that the board brought to the administration the last time we talked about CBAC. There was a concern that some members may have filled out an application online, and because of some malicious, we may not have received it. What we did in the public information office, we created an outreach to the community, asking anyone who had applied and not heard from us to give us a call, and we would work with them. We heard from three people, two of them internal and one of them external, and we got their applications in, and we're confident that we have heard from everyone that intended to apply for a position on the CBAC.
We also extended the deadline by 3 or 4 weeks, and we reconfigured the application page that when they hit send, they got an email back saying that it had been received. And when they hit, right before they hit send, there was a message that said, okay, when you hit send, you should get an email. And if you don't get an email, call us. And so through all that remediation, I think we have a set that we have. And we can now do several things. And we went over these a couple months ago. You can, and I know you won't, but you could leave it to administration to pick the committee out of the 24. That would be option one. Option two would be that each board member could choose individually whoever they wanted, two or three people off the list to be on the committee. Option three would be that the board, through consensus, would pick the members that would be on the committee. Option four would be some sort of amalgam of those three options. And we're open to whatever you guys want to do.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What's your optimum number of committee members? What is your preference?
I don't have a preference. I could work with a committee of 24. I could work with a committee of 10, 8. Whatever the board desired, we could easily do.
Another issue that the board should consider is whether or not the board would like to pick a chair, or whether the board would allow the members of those people that are selected to see that to select the chair among themselves.
Like at the first meeting, they would elect their own chair, or would the board want to elect the chair?
I would recommend that.
I think they should pick their own chair.
Okay.
I would say different. Yeah, I mean, looking at some of the strong people that probably had participated in the past, and looking at, you know, their dedication, we could probably select a chair and possibly a vice chair. What I would want to see as well is possibly if they miss two meetings, they're completely out.
I think it may behoove the board to select a chair, and that way you can appoint someone that has some background in whatever field you might feel is needed and could be beneficial for the CBAC.
Okay, and I guess if anybody's gone over, we could take a couple minutes going over.
I would say one other thing to Ms. Mendoza's comment. If we're going to do this thing where, like, if they miss a meeting, two meetings, they're out, that's fine, no problem. But I guess if we're going to do that, then I'd want to start with a little bigger group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't have a problem. I mean,
attrition would then create a core.
We could give, allow everyone, if depending if the committee wants, or we could have, we could set a number of 20. But if we allow everyone, and then if they miss two, then that shows they're not dedicated. But we need to have a core group of minimal, at least, so that way if we do get down to a certain level, we need to start recruiting again. And I'll go with Ms. Soros first, and then Ms.
Didn't we read all the regulations and rules, our regulation on this committee, and didn't we somewhat revise it, and didn't it specifically state, and each of these people will get a copy of that, that if you miss two meetings, you're gone, if you, am I correct, didn't we?
I don't recall that.
There is a meeting requirement, and I believe it's two meetings in a row.
But we've got a regulation, an administrative regulation, on CBAC specifically.
Yes, we do. I just don't recall what it said about
it. I think that it needs to be brought forward. Let the board look over that once again, review it, because we did. We just reviewed it a couple of months ago. Obviously, we all are a little rusty on it. Maybe bring it back to us. We will see what the parameters are.
I can get it in a Friday packet.
Sure.
We'll get it for you tonight, and I'll get it in a Friday packet again tomorrow.
And
the regulation.
I guess.
And then everybody signs off and agrees to that and understands what the rules and regulations are, and in so doing, everybody's an adult, and if you miss the meeting, you're gone, and don't.
You know, I don't.
And don't cry. Right.
If I could comment, you know. Mondo, I think we have great people on this list. And we also have very few that make me raise an eyebrow even. I mean, there's a couple, but there isn't a person on here I couldn't work with.
And I think going back to what Mr. Earl said, we do, I think we requested that they have quarterly meetings under that. And then I would say, I mean, because one, you might
with
have
minutes,
an excuse.
Specific minutes that are given to the board.
Yes, ma'am. And that's in the regulation.
Yes,
that's typically
it is.
Added to the regulation.
I remember
that one.
But I would say after two, I mean, that's half of the year that you missed. And, you know, so that would be, if it's not in exactly in that regulation, I would recommend that.
I just have two questions. One, were these individuals provided with a copy of the CBAC regulation? One. Two, do these individuals know that we are going to consider them? Have you all touched base with them, even the people that don't have email addresses?
Yes, we've contacted each and every one of these 24 people.
They know that they're being considered.
And they know that they're being considered. They most likely nominated themselves. Okay. They turned in the application for themselves. And yes, we didn't necessarily share the exact regulation with them, but we did let them know that this is a time commitment, and this is a commitment that would require, you know, meetings, quarterly meetings, and we also share with them a very basic overview of what their role and their responsibilities would be.
As a matter of fact, I think we have somebody sitting out in the audience that applied for it. Mr. Flores, correct? Right, Mr. Flores?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Mr. Rodriguez, I personally like the thought of letting all these people, they all expressed a desire. Let them all.
Yeah.
Dr. Murphy says he can work with 24 people. Power to you, Dr. Murphy.
It's a special skill that I have.
And I do believe that, you know, the ones that will, and the ones that it's really not for them, then
won't.
Yeah, they won't. So
only one person on there, don't think.
Then maybe he'll weed himself out.
Sure.
Okay.
Besides that, all the rest of them, there's only one person on there. I'm not in safety.
But you know what? I'll say something about that, and we don't need to use names. That voice probably is the voice we need to hear.
Sure.
You know? And although I do share the same eyebrow-raising moment, I don't think it's an impossible thing to do.
Hey, how about we do this, Mr. Earl? I think I would be I'm in agreement that we should let all of them. I think what we should do is put a minimum. Let's say if we go down to 10, we need to start recruiting.
Well, yeah.
Something's going on. So if we go down to 10, we need to go out and search for the next year or something. I don't want it to, you know, be 4 or 5 people.
After the second meeting, if it's down to 10. Yeah.
And so then we could review that the following year. The other thing that I have is maybe we could look at letting them all know that they're all welcome to participate, and then looking at who might want to take a leadership role, and then we could probably interview, depending if they know, you know, some basic Robert's Rules of Order or certain stuff, because we want somebody there that understands that, so that way we're able to have the quorum at these meetings.
I like that too, in giving these people their ability to find their own leader. You know.
But then confirmed by you guys?
Yes, and confirmed by the board with that. Is that what they
have nominated? What I was saying is, let's say whoever might want to be take a leadership role, then those 4 or 5 could come, and then we could just ask some generic questions and then see if they.
Yeah, that's tough for a volunteer.
You think so? Or should we just...
Let them alone. Let them do what they want to do. They're big boys and girls.
They can do it.
They can do it.
The middle ground would be everyone that wanted to be chair, put your name in a hat, and then I bring those names to you, and without them coming, you could choose. Mm-mm. No?
Let them do it.
Mr. Chair, the least time that we have that they say we're selecting the leaders of that group, the better.
The better. Absolutely.
I want it to be
an
autonomous committee.
The great thing about this committee is that they will be able to see everything that we see and will be able to carry their voice to our community.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, and on that line, when we tell the community, and especially some of this group that sometimes can be prickly, we have a 24-member CMAC who chose their own chair. I think that helps. I mean, that is a plus.
And
they're going to die when we tell them that.
And don't coerce them, Dr. Murphy. Let them choose their own person.
Absolutely.
And no lobbying.
Under the regulation, do we have, is it just a chair or a vice chair? And then who's going to be taking the notes is a question.
It'll be like somebody like Tony or somebody equivalent.
Staff?
Yes.
So we'll have a staff.
We'll have a professional set of
with specificity.
Yes, ma'am.
To those minutes so that we don't just get, we had a meeting, everybody was there. Yes, we all thought this was a great idea and we went home.
Yes, ma'am.
We need to know what they're talking about, who's talking about it, very specific.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so that's going to be a staff member?
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes, sir.
Are we looking at a chair and a vice chair?
I don't recall the bylaws, but I can check that and get back to you.
Okay, so then when are they going to meet to decide their leader?
I'm waiting for the board, and the board will make their decision official on Wednesday. And right after that, we can schedule a meeting as early as the week after that.
Or, well, we'll have the first meeting prior to Thanksgiving.
Okay. And I would like to make sure they all get the CBAC regulation copy.
And yes, we already have, Gustavo and I have been talking. We already have some great things. We want to create a vision and a mission for the CBAC. We have already been looking into other districts that have a CBAC in place and looking at theirs. We found some great templates. Looking at the regulation, creating the chair, going over an overview of the election, going over an overview of what we've done this summer. That'll all be in the first meeting. I think it'll be very, very worthwhile.
Well, we're also working, I'm working with Mr. Mendales to create some sort of primer on bond regulations and bond procedures so that they're familiar with the process and they're familiar with what they will be looking at from that point forward.
And then the charge that they are an advisory group to
to the board. They are not a decision-making group.
Yes.
They are an advisory group to the board.
And that they must understand that, that no one gets their feelings hurt, that, God, we worked all this time to tell them this, and they didn't do that.
That's right.
Well, that is, you know, it can be expected.
That's right.
That can happen.
This is exciting.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I think this is a wonderful.
And I appreciate the board's direction to make it a bigger group. I think that's great. Mm-hmm. Really, I do. I think it's fantastic.
Are you sure you want 24?
Well, my budget stakeholders committee had about 24, 25 members. Certainly the, what was my other?
Facilities.
The what? Facility stakeholders was that big. So, yeah. We certainly worked those pretty well.
Okay. And so, here, this is what we're doing. We're in agreement to recommend to the full board the full amount of 24 members. We're going to have them look at the, get them a copy of the regulation, have them sign on sort of what their description entails.
Thank you.
The other thing is, we're going to have them select their leader, Dr. Murphy. And so, we'll be, what else? Am I missing anything else, sir?
That they'll be charged with the responsibility, they'll go over the.
And make sure that we have, if you miss two meetings, you'll be out.
In a row?
No, either or. I mean, it's four meetings. If you miss two, you'll be.
So two meetings a year. Because I mean, this board is assigned to have a life expectancy of the construction project. So if they miss two meetings a year, is that your.
And if the following year, we could probably even take applications again if we need to grow it.
So they can.
Yeah. And if anybody, and I would recommend to the board, if anybody feels, oh, they might have missed out on the chance to have gotten it, then they just bring it, the name to the board, and then we could approve it.
Don't you think that it would be best that they just kind of get on, like, the waiting list, the attrition list, that if the others drop out,
good.
Go away? And that it's not closed, the public, I'm sure, can come, yes?
Definitely. Like, one name, and I'll just say it out loud, Sal Payan is not on this list, but I spoke several times to Sal about it. So I don't know what's going on there. So
Sal's going to be busy for the next few
months. Yeah, maybe that's it. But if we did what Ms. Searle said and allowed a waiting list, and then like Sal, then if at that point if Sal wanted to apply, he could get on the waiting list, and then if there was attrition, he could come on or something like that.
And he could still attend. I think because this is what we do in our association is we'll send like if any member of the association wants to be part of a committee. Then they fill out the application, it comes to the board, and we approve it, then they get on the committee. If they miss more than two, actually it's three meetings, but they meet once a month. So if they miss more than those meetings, then they're out. And so the following year, you would have to reapply if you would. And so that's something.
They plan on meeting four times a year?
Correct, although I would like the flexibility to call an ad hoc meeting as needed.
I'm saying minimal meeting.
Minimal, okay, yes, minimal.
Dr. Murphy,
yes.
Will you also extend the board's appreciation for their service?
Absolutely. It may be the president or someone could come on the first meeting and make a statement or something.
Anybody else who wants to.
And I think there ought to be a cover letter with their CVAC reg that says the board is so pleased.
Welcome and the whole
thank you. We know your volunteers. We know your time is valuable. We're not here to waste yours.
And I will be using, until such time that we do get an associate superintendent, I will be using Gustavo as the as my representative, the right-hand man type on it. Of course, I will attend as well, but he'll be also serving in somewhat of an administrative function.
Which he knows that he does not have an administrative function. That Gustavo, Mr. Rupp, he knows that he does not have an administrative function. That the administrative function is yours and yours alone.
Actually. Right. But superintendent's designee is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. As needed.
Anything else? No? So we're in agreement to approve these at the monthly board meeting?
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you, Gustavo. And Gustavo's dismissed. He has another thing he has to attend this night. So, thank you.
as much fun.
Right answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item
is 2F, discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding purchase of 2 vehicles, facilities, and administration.
Chairperson Rodriguez, committee members, other members of the board, audience. We bring to you tonight a discussion item regarding the possible purchase of 2 additional vehicles. Ron also is joining us in UNESCO. We are in the process of receiving pickup trucks and vans and other vehicles from the bond funding, and we greatly appreciate the community support and the board support of those purchases. In the process of starting to receive these vehicles and assigning them and figuring it out, Ernesto has indicated that they could use one more additional pickup truck for the plumber, the plumber's position, and he can explain that, and he would like to add to the order, basically, of what we already have out there, one additional vehicle, that pickup truck. Furthermore, I would like the board to consider the purchase of a car for the office of the superintendent to use, that it would not be my own personal vehicle in any way, shape, or form, but that a vehicle that would be on the registry of the district, something similar to a Chevy Impala or Malibu or something like that, that I could use for professional and incidental personal use. We have provided you a listing of all the vehicles in the district, that other than buses, that was requested by a board member, and we wanted to bring this to you for discussion purposes. Ernesto, you want to talk about the plumber's vehicle?
We really are happy that the board approved the 8 vehicles that we had originally requested. Four of which are already here, and we're waiting for the liners and the toolboxes to be installed in the racks before we release them out. We expect to receive 4 additional ones to make the final 8 in sometime early December. That's when they're expected to come in. Having looked at our list of employees and the fact that we have a new plumber coming in and then an apprentice plumber, I think the board recalls we were given 2 additional maintenance people, and not having counted on that additional plumber, we're short one truck. And so, which is not to say that one of them could ride with the other, but if you've got 2 plumbers, I'd prefer to have them ride separately so that they can address the needs of the district separately instead of riding together all the time. Are there any questions?
What's the total amount that we put out on the 2011 bond program?
Total amount of money total?
$43 million. Under that separate?
It was right at $1 million. You're talking about the maintenance equipment, vehicles?
The buses and all. What was the total under the bond program?
Right at $1 million for the buses, and I think it was a little over $100,000 for the vehicles.
It's on my desk. Go get it.
We had $1 million for the buses, and then we had for district maintenance equipment $180,000.
$180,000, I apologize.
And on the vehicles alone, I think we spent about $100,000, and we left the $80,000 for the additional pieces of equipment that we're buying, like trailers, lifts. We're still looking at a Bobcat to purchase, mowers, that type of a larger equipment that we're missing. So in reality, we've spent about $100,000 already on the vehicles, on the 8 vehicles that we have. And we kept the $80,000 for not only large equipment, but also for tools for our employees, maintenance people.
So the total was $1.180 million?
Yes, sir.
And how much have we spent when it comes to the buses on everything other than the $80,000 that you said was reserved?
Yes,
if you refer to your early bird.
It says 180.
Projects. It says on number right below that we have the school buses, and we have 10 school buses, and we spent $885,430 for 10 school buses. And then for the two specialty buses, there was an additional $102,760 to give us which leaves us with about $11,810.
So we have $11,810 out of the $1 million, and then we have, and that's savings, is that correct? What was projected other than, I guess, that you need an additional truck, right?
Yeah, an additional truck.
And then the other item is number 16 above that, district maintenance equipment vehicles, trailers.
You can see that 74.
Yeah, we've encumbered about 105,000, and that leaves about 74,000.
Okay, Ms. Gonzalez.
Dr. Murphy, I had asked you to bring us some information tonight. Did you do that?
Regarding
district vehicles.
Yes, that's the yellow.
You should have received something like this.
We don't have it.
Don't have it.
You haven't. Is that it?
I apologize. Yeah, we worked really hard on those. Ernesto, Maria, everyone, thank you.
That's going to be my question. If all the campuses were equipped with vehicles.
We are looking at, if you refer to the last page, you'll see where M at the bottom, and they've got an asterisk, and we have M1. We're passing M1, M2, and M5 onto the middle school and high school. Those are 2002 trucks, which are in good condition, very good condition, unlike what they currently have. What they currently have is very poor condition vehicles. I mean, we
good option.
There's one campus that doesn't have one.
Right, but they're getting one.
They don't, but it's stating that there's what from what they have, they don't have.
Is Alderete currently have a vehicle?
Alderete has currently yes. Yes, if you go to
the
second page, it's in 89 Ford.
Where is it? Is it in the shop? Or?
Top of page 2.
Right now, that one is in the shop.
For
in fact,
more than
I
a year?
Saw it. I don't know.
For more than
it's
a year.
It's been there.
More than a year.
I think it's been in and out.
More than a year.
It's been there.
But Alderete will be getting a vehicle?
Yes. Both Cantillo and Alderete, and also the high school.
And the one that they currently have is going to third surplus. That's M303 on page 3.
And what about the other campuses? Do they have trucks too?
No, they don't. That I know of, they don't. The elementaries?
Yes.
No, that I know of, they don't. Or at least that, just based on what research we've done, they don't have vehicles. Whenever they have a need for that, what we do is we provide them, we make use of one of our vehicles to them, and they've asked for vehicles on and off. And what we do is when we usually leave one of them and allow them to use one of them to get whatever they need to go and pick up.
And if I might add, the warehouse also is ordering another box truck with the lift gate on it, so they'll be delivering a lot more of the custodial supplies and stuff to the campus. That's going to help them out too.
Thank you.
Just another quick question. Under the $74,000, how much are we looking at spending for the other stuff that we projected to?
All of that.
Yeah. Really, right now, what we're doing is we're getting pricing on the equipment. We just recently got pricing on lifts, on a lift, a 25-foot lift, which we desperately need for the gyms and all the campuses. We are looking at a mower. We're looking at a small bobcat dozer that our groundspeople are in need of. That alone, from what I understand, if I'm correct, Pablo, if you can correct me on this, I think he was getting the pricing on this. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of the $20,000 itself.
So I guess my question is, what are we projecting to spend and how much possible savings are we looking at?
Oh, the savings? It's very hard to say because
I wouldn't want any savings out of that fund. That is for tools, even down to lawnmowers. I want to make sure that our men in maintenance have every nickel of that money to spend on the equipment they need. I think that would be one fund where we would, if we had money left over, we would continue buying equipment for the men.
And okay, that's fine with me. The question is, if you're looking at asking for a truck and a car, where is that money going to come out?
As I wrote in the Friday packet, and this was one of the reasons I was speaking to Paul Braden, what he says we can do is we can take the 2006 undesignated monies and we can move them through board motion to pay for things out of the 2011 bond, and then that frees up 2011 bond to buy that, which we know we have savings. I mean, we already know on the wastewater we have $1 million probably in savings. And so Mr. Braden told me, if we make a motion to move the 2006 and allow it to pay for allowable expenses in 2011, then that will free up that money.
Just on moving the 2006 and doing that, I would disagree on that. I think what we need to look at is what the 2006 expenditures need to be made and what do we have that we still have under those projects and get those complete. I wouldn't want to mess with the 2006.
Right, but we know that we're going to wind up with, after we complete those projects, we know we're going to wind up with a pot of money from 2006 that's completely undesignated.
It was designated, correct?
But we'll have savings. We're going to have savings of the 2006 that is undesignated.
Well, then that could be rolled over into the 2011.
Right, and that's what we're saying. That's what Mr. Braden is saying. He's saying as long as you make a motion, it can then roll over into the 2011. It's exactly what he's saying.
And when are we looking at closing out the 2006 bond project?
Well, they're on this list. They're not on the early bird list, Ernest.
Well, I know that I have the second phase of the hardware. The first phase was for ADA to meet CTE, to comply with CTE. The second phase is to complete the rest of the middle school and elementary, not for ADA purposes, but to complete changing out all the cores so that the campuses work out of one key system. And we also have the lighting retrofits, the second phase of the lighting retrofits in there. And we also have some lighting, some power upgrades that we have to do. That I can remember, those are the three largest numbers that we have. And I think we were talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of and we have the surveillance cameras.
We have the security cameras we're looking at.
Right.
The update on the fire alarms, the PA system. Lighting, retrofits, electrical panels at ADA, district-wide, weather-related. Just real quick, Ms. Aguirre?
Yes.
On this 2006, we added the 13, or the, how many was it, 21? From the early bird, 21, or... We added this to the 2006?
Yes, because at the time when they were proposed, we had not received the funds for the issuance of the $22 million.
So the what we promised the voters in the 2006 that still needs to be done is the security cameras, the fire alarms, PA systems, lighting retrofits, electrical panels, ADA, and weather-related, right?
Okay. Yes.
Of those items, if I may, of those items, the fire alarm and the PA are completed. The reason that we haven't closed them out is that they haven't invoiced us. Second of all, is because the fire marshal has been busy. You know, they have to get kind of inspected for the fire alarm, and the fire marshal, the local guy here, has not had time to meet with the vendor to finally give the green light that he's satisfied. As he goes from campus to campus, that's the county-wise, as he goes campus to campus, he may find something that he wants done. That's really, sometimes that's how it works with the fire marshals. Sometimes it's not an item that necessarily has to, it doesn't mean that it's not in compliance. He may just have a desire to put another sensor here.
Mr.
And that's what we're waiting for.
Just I want to stick more towards the purchase of both vehicles, but one of the things that I wanted to reflect was the 2006. If we're going to be looking at that, I want to make sure those are in process or about to be completed.
On the early bird projects, there's already a savings of $41,000 on the first six items. That in itself would pay for the two vehicles or come close.
And what are we looking for, the first vehicle and the second vehicle?
I provided those in the Friday packet. The truck is $17,300. These are approximate numbers, but depending on how the quotes...
So we're looking at possibly 40 for both?
Something along those lines, and there's already... I mean, if you want to... simply say on realized savings from 2011, we've already done that.
Okay. And I guess, does anybody have questions?
I do. Very well done, Mr. Adler. That is that according to this, we've already purchased or are waiting for eight vehicles, correct?
That's correct.
We're sending five to surplus. Correct?
That's correct.
So what you're asking for tonight is to up it to 10, right? 8, 9?
Well, one more. Yes, one more for the maintenance.
Right.
Yeah. That's correct, yes. And only because of the additional personnel that we were given by the board this year, it was the two people,
right,
and one
the,
ended up being a plumber.
Thank you.
Anybody else have questions? So we purchased four trucks, right? For the for your department, correct? Mr. Armandani?
The eight, you see where it says new on maintenance?
But under the maintenance, it would be four trucks. They wouldn't be using the vans, right? And the 250 probably?
Yes, it's actually five trucks and three vans.
Yeah, five trucks and three vans.
So the vans are more district-wide use? And
no, the vans are actually,
they're not
maintenance vans.
They're not like vans that we need?
No, they're work vans.
No, they're
utility, what you call utility vans.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have a ladder rack on top, and they'll have shelving inside for parts for the electricians.
Yeah, we went that route only because they carry like copper wire. They carry a lot of copper piping, and leaving them in trucks, they disappear, you know, real easily. And so this way, they keep all their supplies enclosed.
And what is the feeling with the board, the request of the vehicles?
I'm okay with it. It's going to be out of savings, so I'm fine with it. Matter of fact, I think we probably, if we find savings down the road, I think we ought to have another general vehicle available that any campus can request if it's available, including the elementaries.
We certainly could put that on the list.
But that's down the road when we realize more savings.
Do we want to just address it at the full board meeting? Or what does the committee feel?
I'll be very frank with you what I feel. I don't have a problem with this, but I think it's untimely. We just went through all this. We just set how many vehicles everybody was going to get. We gave a budget for it. And I do feel somewhat obligated to stick with the plan that was made. with the exception that we've got a new person on board, if they indeed truly need a vehicle, I don't have a problem with giving someone the tools to do their job. With the superintendent's office vehicle, I think that that would come under Dr. Murphy's contract. We just talked about that as well. We will talk about that again probably in November or December. I think it would be more pertinent and germane to keep that in line with this contract and not just as a, you know, an offshoot. That's my opinion where I would come from. So I would say no to one, yes to the other, and the no vote would be because it's improper timing.
Okay. And I would agree on the contract, looking at the contract, and I had a discussion with Dr. Martin on this. My concern is, instead of, you know, the car allowance that was requested, I'd rather it be an asset to the district, not an asset to Dr. Murphy. Excuse my... But that's something that I would want to look at. Depending on what the committee recommends, we could look at it at the full board meeting, we could look at it later. And then the other thing is, do we want to separate both, or do we want to look at both later, or what is the feeling?
I personally would prefer that we separate the
voting.
Okay.
Chair. Chairman, I have no, and I've talked to Ms. Searles about this, no problem with that whatsoever. The TASB superintendent's evaluation cycles back in November, and I had written that even before you and I had that conversation. And we will be looking at that in November at the November regular board meeting, my evaluation. And if the board wanted to wait until that time to take a look at it, I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Okay, and then I guess, so we want to separate both, is that? And are we in agreement to recommend the truck purchase then? I mean, to be brought to the full board? And this is going to be through a cooperative, or we're going to ask for...
It'd be that TASB by board.
And it's going to be the same vehicles that we purchased for the other...
Actually, the trucks we just received were actually 2011s because they haven't stopped. The new one will be a 2012.
And there's no way we could get a 2011.
They've already sold out all of it. Don't want to add an inventory.
And then also, this, because it's going to be a plumber's truck, it will need the saddles with the equipment storage available for that. So that would be a cost extra. And we will bring that to you. It'll be in tomorrow's Friday packet with the saddles, and for the full board on Wednesday with the saddles.
I have a question. When looking at the contract, the product pricing summary contract, there's a $995 delivery charge.
That's correct.
Wouldn't it just be cheaper for somebody to get a plane ticket?
We can do that. We can fly someone down there and they can drive it back.
Yeah, have a nice trip.
Yeah, we were going to recommend that. So.
Yeah, because I think that's an exorbitant delivery charge.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. That was really, I would like to recommend that we cut the cost on that for $200 and get on Southwest Fly and $100 drive home.
And I guess my thing, I mean, I'm more of a local individual and that money is going to San Antonio. Is there anybody in the buy board that is local?
I wish there was.
Oh.
Why doesn't TASB, why doesn't Region 19 look for a buy board under purchasing of vehicles?
I can talk to Royce Cleveland about it, see if he wants to put out a bid for that.
I have a suggestion. We have a new supporter for our district who was a good supporter at our alumni golf tournament. They're a car dealership. Maybe we ought to give them the chance to give us a price.
Actually, could we, under the bid proposal, look under, you know, because it's under the 20, right? Couldn't we just get the quotes and then see if they could provide that same type of vehicle for the same price?
Try it. Yeah.
Can we look at that then?
Now, what would that do to the timeline?
It might be faster.
If they have to have any stock, it might be better. If it's not, we'd have to look at the timeline as far as to do it. Most of the time on the fleet services like that, they have to order them unless they stock fleets.
So if they have that ability to bring it, even it might even save us money because we don't have to send somebody to pick it up. Or can we look at that then?
I would say if it's the same brand like Ford or Chevy, they're probably going to be almost identical in pricing because they get the GSA pricing. But we sure look at it. I'd be happy to do that.
Because this is not a bulk, right? It's just one, so it's under that threshold. So we're able to get quotes. Okay. So we'll get quotes.
Yeah, Cisbaro was the dealership who just joined us as, you know, friends of the district alumni. Maybe they would be happy to get the price.
We'll look into it and bring it back on Wednesday. It's just the one vehicle.
Okay.
And then we'll bring the other one in November.
Okay.
I have one last question. Do we still hold surplus sales in the district once a year, twice a year?
It's usually around twice a year.
Actually, Mr. Ortiz, if he's not coming to the board next week, he will be coming in the following weeks because he's getting ready for a surplus sale.
Do we have a good turn?
Yes, I believe the last one we had, we collected something like $16,000.
Thank you.
Okay.
There's savings right there.
So we're looking at.
I just bought the truck.
Thanks for the project.
So we're looking at purchasing the other end of one, because the other one in the future.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And that will take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2G, update on RFQ for architectural services to include discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
We have the current RFQ. Does anybody have any questions with the RFQ as presented by administration?
I do.
Okay.
Ms. Brigham, can you turn on the document?
Mr. Gatlin,
yes,
ma'am. You look at November 1st as a date for the proposal.
Yes, ma'am.
And then you will bring evaluations and that kind of thing. When do you propose that we'll be talking to, interviewing the...
Probably late November, early December, so we can bring this to the board for approval in November. Regular board meeting in December, I'm sorry.
December.
Because it's going to take some time to evaluate the bids, and then we'll have to get the top five or whatever the board chooses they want to interview. We'll discuss that, and then you'll have to call the interviews and have them come in and present to you. And we just don't want to rush that. I know you want to spend some time. Yes, it's very important.
Is there a timeline here that, do you have a timeline?
I think I included it in the report back in the Friday packet.
Monday.
Well, it's actually a memo from myself, Dr. Murphy, but I think there's a copy.
Oh, it's under your memo, I think, right? So we're looking out for the RFPs are going to be going out on November 1st. That's a tentative date.
Yes.
And then how many weekends do we have to?
We have to post it 2 weeks in the paper, two consecutive weeks, and I want to keep it open 3 weeks so we get a better look at it.
Okay.
I've had a lot of interest. I've had a lot of phone calls wondering when it's going to hit the streets. So.
Okay.
People look at it.
And so once we get that, then what's the turnaround from them to start making presentation?
That's going to be up to the board when you want to schedule it. It'll take me about a week to go through the bids and make sure everything was complete, all the forms were sent in and returned, and all the I's dotted and the T's crossed.
So at the November board meeting, we would have...
You could discuss on
the timeline.
Right, when you want to do the interviews, and we'd take it for approval in the December board meeting.
Okay.
Or choosing of the architect.
Okay. Does that sound okay?
Or architects, however you want to do it.
Okay, that sounds good.
Can you keep us apprised of the proposals submitted?
I'm sorry?
Can you keep us apprised of how many proposals were submitted and that kind of thing in the Friday packets?
Sure can. We actually have on our website when they actually come in and look at the RFQ, if they have to sign in, at least we know who's looking at it and what day they signed in and everything, so we can keep track of that.
Yeah.
I keep track of all that. That would compare who looked at it and who actually submitted a bid also.
Can Can you give us a tentative deadline? How we talked about, we're looking at November 1st, doing the 2 or 3 weekends.
Sure.
And then we're looking at the next November board meeting to decide the interview structure. And then if we get that...
Remember, we're going to be out one whole week in November. It's going to be short month.
Yeah. For the, that meeting, we could decide, and then that
we can decide when you want to do the interviews. That's right.
Okay.
Sure to do that.
That sounds good. Then, we don't need to recommend anything, right? Just okay.
You asked us that keep you apprised and give you a copy of this before we go to the streets with us.
Okay. And that should be it. Can you take us to the next agenda item?
Agenda item 2H, update on energy management services to include possible formulation and recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
Okay. We're looking at, when are we looking at having this one out?
Well, on this one, Mr. Rodriguez, what we need to do is we need some direction from the board as to exactly how you want the scope or what you want in the scope of work for this, because and it's noted here as energy management services. It's really more a performance contracting service that involves energy management. Yes, and there are various options that they presented when the gentleman showed up. There were various options that they presented, and I think that's really what raised the question: is which direction do you all?
Does Region 19 or even TASB have a template on these type of services working?
There's a lot of templates, and it's going to depend on what you really want this RFQ to distinguish for you. Do we just want to use the bond money that we've already adequate for projects we've already started or we want to do, or do we want somebody to actually manage that for us? If you look at the RFQ for the architect, that's what they do too. So do we really need one, or do we use the architect to do it?
I think what we need to look at is, you know, have them present what, and actually it's a request for qualification, how qualified are they? So I think with the template is provide that template and see how qualified they are and what their capabilities are as a company to present.
I agree with you, Mr. Rodriguez. The question that we have right now is that this is going to be for qualifications. And the thing is that there are various things that they can present to you. And I think in the last meeting, they brought up 3, which kind of got a little confusing. One of them brought up that, well, we can do all your campuses, or we can just do the energy management portion of it, or we can offer you a very low interest loan that way you can get a low interest loan, and then the money that you allocated for this would not be used, and you can use it for some other.
And so that would be under an RFQ, right?
Yes.
How qualified are they?
It would have to be under an RFQ, but that's what we need to define as the scope of work.
And I have that on these sheets back here, gentlemen and board members. The components of the building energy management systems that we're looking at. Number one, the KMTO High School geothermal hookup and management. That would be something we definitely want on. Number two, the district-wide energy management control system cutting down on our usage and savings. Third would be the equipment selection. We have $10 million approximately in our bond, things like HVAC, windows, insulation. They could be involved in that if you desired. And then the fourth one would be this low-cost loan application and management, which would offset the bond monies. The discussion, however, is that we also could just put this in the architect RFQ. All 4 of these things, or at least a large percentage of these, we wouldn't even need an energy manager. The geothermal hookup and management could be in the RFQ for the architect. Certainly the equipment selection and management, and we wouldn't need the extra expense of another one. And one of our concerns is the expense of these groups coming in. And, you know, would we need it? And in what scope, or would you want to limit it? Or would you want someone to do the entire thing?
Ms. Rowe?
Could you move down, number two, district-wide energy management control system. Dr. Murphy, can you tell me, what do you mean by that?
Ernesto can do a better job than I can.
Okay, that is like having a internet capability to control anything from your air conditioners.
Gotcha.
And your light.
Okay.
We could actually turn on the lights at the football field when they're needed, turn them off when they're not needed. On occasion, sometimes when they're practicing, they have lights on and they're done. Maybe sometimes they get out earlier, mm-hmm. an hour earlier, than lights stay on.
Okay.
And so that would save us a lot of energy.
This is not, many, many years ago, Mrs. Mendoza will remember this well. We paid an exorbitant amount of money for a company to come in and just tell us to turn our lights off. And
kept paying them.
We paid them $6,000 a month for many years.
I remember that.
To just come in and tell us to turn our lights off and to train us each how to turn our lights off. And after the end of the contract, we realized, we really didn't probably get our money's worth, and we began to have somebody in-house do that. Nowhere in this is that, Mr. Gavin's nodding, he remembers those days too. This would not
part of this energy management would require some training on behalf of an employee of the district. And that employee of the district would become the energy manager.
Okay, but we would not contract someone else.
They'll offer you that option.
Okay.
And or we can manage it for
you. Okay, because I am definitely against that. We've been down that road before. It was a waste of time.
Yes.
If you look on page 10 of the RFQ for the architect, you'll see that we've put in there the adherence to the energy conservation strategies to achieve energy reductions, also the LEAP methodology for sustainability. So that's already in there. We're already going to have our architect doing that. So we just want some advice. Do you want us to go with the other RFQ? I'd be happy to do that for you if that's what you want. But we discussed it this afternoon at length, and we feel that probably the architect could probably handle it.
While I was at the TASB conference, I decided to talk to some of them about the energy management issue. And I've got information that, in fact, there are some experts at state level that we could tap into.
We're currently working with them.
Uh-huh.
And they started phase one of it. Phase two would mean that they would just sit behind my back and say, these are the recommendations that we, I would pass them in a booklet that we normally provide for the architect and engineer of all the things that we have expectations of. And yes, you're absolutely right.
So I do think that what we need to do is we need to have a position district-wide that takes care of our energy. Clearly, we know that that's needed because of what's happened to us at the high school. People turning off our pumps without us knowing different times, not needing to have all of them on. Those issues need to be clearly spelled out that only one person should be responsible for that. We need to have an energy management person.
I used to get a stipend for that, and I did that. Yeah. We're to the point now that's going to be a full-time job.
It's going to be clearly a full-time job.
And I think in the savings, with the mandates now that the state requires to reduce our consumption by 5% every year, I mean, that almost could pay for something.
Yeah. It's clear that we need to do that. The one where it gets a little trickier is in terms of since our architects are not going to be involved, is the district-wide conversions and the insulation aspect, and the windows and all that. Since we're not going to have, per se, a project
We do have it in the scope of work for the
AE.
We do have it in there because, as I had described in the past, in the last board meeting, I had indicated that you usually, even though it may be, like, say, for example, the scope for air conditioning upgrades, I put it in there, even though that requires an engineer, we tend to always just hit the engineer, but we forget about the architect because there are architectural features that need to be brought in. An engineer can design, the mechanical can do all this, and then doesn't have a good feel as to how am I going to fit it into the building. And that's where the architect steps in and he picks up those gray areas. And that's why we put it in here. So yes, air conditioning, insulation and window treatments. Those involve architectural involvement as well as engineering. Mm-hmm. Windows, it's purely architectural. Insulation, it could be a play on both, but really it's architectural. But when you get into the air conditioning, that's a combination of the engineer and the architect. And it's important that both players be there so that the architectural treatments are taken care of and not left undone. Mm-hmm. You usually get that gray area,
right,
that somebody needs to fill in, and that's usually the architect that will pick up those needed areas. So it is in the scope of work and right here.
Okay.
I think.
Well, and the issue becomes is, are the architect or the engineer per se going to have that kind of expertise for that we need in terms of the energy management and in terms of the energy efficiency?
Part of the training in the architectural field as well as the engineering field now, they're forced to have that type of knowledge. They're forced to go to that type of training. They're forced to get a yearly, understanding. I know when I was in architecture school, even though energy management has changed quite a bit when I was there, I still had to learn about energy management and energy savings and what the R values were for the block and what they should be for roofing and what they should be for the walls. So yes, maybe on the engineer side, he gets a little bit deeper into those areas. And that's one of the criteria that we ask for them to be, when they present to you, they're going to have to come in and say, hey, we have this to show you. We're LEED certified, or we have somebody in our office. We are energy conscious teams. We have an energy conscious team, and this is their expertise. So that's part of what the green building approach is right now. So they do have that, and that's why you end up, that's why I myself had mentioned this in discussion with Ron and Dr. Murphy, is that if we were to introduce this group, they call them ESCOs, the performance contractors, they call them ESCOs, into the new building, then we would be doubling up in engineers, in essence. That's what we would be doing. And you would have that gray area as to, okay, where do I begin and where does he end? And so on and so forth. And the last thing we want to do is that finger pointing out. Who, us? Who do we turn around to help me on this one? Well, the other guy can say, well, the engineer, his infrastructure was not, we have a problem with the infrastructure. And then the engineer and the infrastructure would say, well, no, it's his component, it's the equipment. And that's what we're trying to avoid, or I recommend that we avoid and keep it clean in that sense. The AE, the architect or engineer, have those components in them. If there is an architect or engineer out there in town right now that do not have any of these, mm-hmm. They probably wouldn't be applying for this. They wouldn't be coming to present to you because they wouldn't stand a chance next to the other ones that currently, right now, are already set up with teams like this that would be able to give you this information. Or give you this type of green building.
And these would be good questions to ask at the interview level.
It's just that I see it, and I agree with you, I see that at the, when we're doing the new building, like the PK through 8, I think clearly that's something that we need to do with the architect and stuff. It's a little less unclear on the renovation deals.
Well, and if I might...
And if we're going to have an architect do that part with respect to that, why not have somebody who specializes on that?
And,
put it in the contract and do a different kind of contract. I don't know, I'm just throwing this out there.
Mr. Cornell, I think one of the things I'm more comfortable with somebody with the expertise when it comes to, you know, the energy management stuff, and that's one of the reasons why I said the last time and we discussed going out for the RFQs, I'm more comfortable with somebody with those expertise and the fact that whether it's a performance contract or anything, we could hold those people accountable for those savings that we need, since the state legislator back when had said, you know, let's start looking at the 5% decrease, and that's been a while. So I'm more comfortable with looking at somebody with those expertise and not necessarily an engineer that actually looks at all areas and somebody compared to somebody that has expertise in energy management. So that's something that I would recommend.
And we can ask those questions on the when we
the RFQs. Yeah.
When we do the I guess the interviews on the architects, but clearly with all the stuff that we're going to build, clearly we can incorporate that into this. And what I'm saying, it doesn't get as clear and a demarcation of those responsibilities is the renovations. And how are we going to put, I mean, are we going to have performance contracts for the architects? Guys?
Are we going to have...
Yeah, you're talking about the scope of work for doing the air conditioning and the insulation deal. I mean, when we do with an energy company, we can have a performance contract with them, even on the new building. Are we going to have this with the architect?
You could request it. They could incorporate them.
I don't know. Or wouldn't do that.
Well, I don't know that they'd want to, but
and what portion?
It's something that maybe they can present to you.
And the other issue is, if we're going to do that, what are we going to incorporate in terms of requirements for that? Solar? What else?
Yeah, and it would be... Let's say you get a performance contractor, you still need to tell them specifically what you want. We want solar, we want this, we want that, so on and so forth. Or they could present that to you.
They don't want to tell them.
And the same thing with architects. If we request that in our qualifications, then they can come in and present that to you too. But it's the board's choice.
We need to decide what we want, and what is it that we want in terms of in the budget for example, the PK through 8. Are we going to have enough money to be able to say we want to put solar in there?
Well, maybe they show us, here's what it costs to put solar, here's what it costs not to put solar, here's what it costs to do partial solar, and that be a good guideline for us, and in so doing, here's the savings you will if you do this or don't do this.
And I guess that's what we need to look at and give direction to administration is go with a separate RFQ and see what they could actually provide under their expertise when it comes to, you know, separate them too. You know, the elementary is one, the pre-K 8 is one, the other one's the high school that we need to address right away, and then the other stuff is, of course, district-wide. So I think what we need to do is go out for the RFQs and then address that when it comes to who's a better expert. And if an architect wants to apply and thinks they're an expert in energy management, then why not want them to?
Always go out. We don't have to award it.
And so we're able to see that too. And the good thing is with some of the conferences that we go to is some of these people offer all the the data that they have to research for free. So let's see what they're able to offer, and then we can make a decision then.
So, Dr. Murphy has something real important to tell.
And I think I just went over it.
Well, and I just add that if we do go out for the RFQ, I think these are the components that have to be the geothermal hookup and management.
At the high school.
The district-wide performance contracting, which is the energy management controls. That's the performance contracting. The equipment selection, we're a little leery on number three. We're leery that we will choose a vendor who will try to sell us a certain product instead of allowing us flexibility to choose our own products.
Well, we could ask for that when we do that, and when we're interviewing.
Yes, we can. Although they'll tell you all day long that they are, what was the term, vendor neutral?
Uh-huh.
When in fact they really aren't in many instances.
Well, the thing is, they have the expertise, and they have to recommend the best product when it comes to energy management. When we're looking at
right. Who's
able to provide the better product or the better service, we'll be able to see once they give us that presentation, whatever they use, they would be experts in what they know. Not us, I would say, because I'm not an expert.
Okay, so. and then they could also talk about the low-cost loan situation. So these would be the four things that we would request their expertise in the RFQ regarding. And then we would ask them to bid also on all the options that, and say that we would be willing to listen to it, but we hadn't made a decision as to which way we're going to go, just the pre-K-8.
Well, this is an RFQ, not an RFP, right?
Right.
Right.
But that these would be the projects that we would
be looking at. Okay, that sounds good.
Now, another question, do you want to wait until we get the RFQ for the architect back first to look at that, and then mm-hmm. decide how we want to do the scope of work for the...
I think we should.
I think it's prudent to do it that way.
I think we need to wait for the architects as well, but I think we need to look at this, especially on the high school, is my concern. And so, I mean, one thing is we could do it simultaneously, but look at, because the main concern is the high school. And if they're able to do the high school, and we could hold off on the other projects right now, because of we still need to purchase those, the other stuff that we did deny the last meeting.
I have a feeling we're going to be very pleasantly surprised when the architects come to us that they will have a comprehensive plan for us, that we won't have to piecemeal this. I'm hoping I'm correct. I would like to. I think we've got November 1st as the RFQ cutoff date.
We'd like to close that date.
For the architects. I would really like to see the architects tell us what they can do, because we do have, we saw three people the other night who told us what they could do.
Yeah.
Let's see what the big boss, because the architect's going to be the top of the food chain there.
Yeah.
Well, for our projects.
On the projects.
Yes.
But the thing is, the projects include the... My main concern is not the pre-K through 8.
No.
My concern is the thing that we voted on the last meeting, and it didn't get approved on the high school stuff, and if one of those systems were to go down,
yes.
That's my concern, and that's why I want to look at...
But that's not in the scope of work proposal.
But they would give us advice under that.
Well, but that's just a pump that we need to place.
Yeah, it's just a pump that we need to buy.
In fact, we were wondering if we could bring that back to you on Wednesday.
And that was one of the things is I want to make sure that we get the people that do that expertise give us the recommendation as well as administration's, so we could do that.
I think there's only one choice on that. At the high school, I mean, I think we got to buy the pump that matches our system. Am I correct? That there's not like a big, it's not like you go to Walmart and you have a big choice. Am I speaking correctly that heat pump is...
It's a water pump.
The water pump is sort of one sole source.
But it's not a sole source.
Well, you're only going to get one.
But you can only get, yes.
Yeah, there's only one company that's going to fit what we need. Am I correct in assuming this?
Yeah, I think really here we pretty much know what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
It has nothing to do with energy savings.
No, it has to do just with the component.
It has to do with functionality only. We're working with one unit. The other one's down. The backup is down. If this one gives, this one, I mean, we're shut down.
Understand.
So it's a matter of just going out, it's buying that and putting...
it's just like getting another tire for your car.
It depends what type of tire you get that might...
But you want to make sure you got the same tires as the other four that for other three.
I just want to make sure that, and this was my thing is, on some of the stuff that we had purchased, we had some of those people say that that's a product that they sell. So I don't want to give nobody a competitive advantage when it comes to that. I think my concern is I want somebody that knows the expertise and the ones we're comfortable with to recommend, and that way we don't give a competitive advantage, if you get my hand.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm wondering, I mean, when you're talking the high school, it's just all we need is a component. And it's not going to save us any money or cost us. That component is just like this. It's simple. Am I correct in saying this? It's a component. And as we go for the architect, he's going to be the top dog out of the, you know, top one in chain of command. And under him would be, you know, your engineer, your energy people, and maybe the architect we pick will have all of that comprehensive within his.
We're not picking an architect to work on the high school. We're picking an architect for pre-K through 8. My thing is we need to look at the expertise of the energy management individual as well, because that's separate. We're not looking at an architect to look at the stuff at the high school.
Not the energy issues. We are for the...
And that component, the water pump, could be part of a system, of a whole system, correct?
It's already a system. We have an existing condition. And they couldn't come, if we're thinking that they're going to come in and tell us, you could do something different and it'll improve things. No. This is just a part that's missing, that's not working and needs to be replaced. Just that portion. Where they could help us is on the energy management side, and that is, okay, now that you've got the pump, now let's come in and do these other improvements that are required in order to make sure that that pump or those pumps that are sitting there function like they were supposed to function. And that is that energy management system that cycles them. That is what's missing. That's a component that's missing on the high school. That's where these people could come in and be of some of service to us.
And my stance on the last one, and I just don't want it to happen again. So I think we need to go out with the RFQs for the energy management. We don't have to do it exactly the same time. Maybe the following month we could look at those. But on the issues that doesn't have to deal with design, we need somebody with the expertise in that area.
Mr. Chair, I think, frankly, for going out for the RFQs for the energy management, I think we ought to wait to after we see the RFQs on the architects to see what, after that, if anything, we want to go out for. We're still going to go out for the energy management for some aspects. For example, the high school, even the computer system that we're going to have to buy.
Building maintenance.
And it may not be an architect we need that. As a matter of fact, the scope of work is not on the architect RFQ for that. That's something we know we're going to have to do. But if we're going to have them do that, what others are we going to have them come back and re-present for other aspects that we don't know what we're going to go out for until after we see the architect's proposals? We may not want an energy management company to handle anything other than specific areas, because clearly on the PK through 8, the new gyms, all that stuff, we may not need an energy management person.
And I agree. The thing is, we're going out for a request for qualifications to see if they're able to qualify to do that job. Once we've had them on board, then we're able to say you can do or you can't do it, or we don't need you for this project. But we've already gone through the process, and we know, depending on who the board decides to go with, that from that point on, we have them sort of like on a retainer when it comes to, you know, certain issue, instead of if a problem were to arise and we need it.
It's true. The problem is that I don't see, if you don't tell them up front that you're actually considering these projects, period, you may not get them to bid. Am I wrong?
Well, what you're going to get is proposals from them. They're going to say, we want to come in, we want to look at your whole district.
Yeah.
We want to look at everything just like the other company did in the past, and they're going to tell you that they can get us a low-income, a low-interest loan.
For everything.
That it'll pay itself off after so many years, and then they figure their fees into that. So actually what they're doing is creating business for themselves. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's the way the U.S. works. But, I mean, we need to be careful how we do this. We may get stuck in something we really don't want. That's all. I want to be cautious that we don't do that.
So. Yeah, and I agree. But the thing is, I mean, the thing is, if we go out for an RFQ, my thing is, on the last item, what was it, the pump that voted no? I'm not comfortable, like I said before, till we have somebody to give us that type of advice. I don't know if it's going to go the same. We could put it on the next meeting, but we're just going out for not necessarily the proposals. We're going out for the main concern is the high school. We know that it's in dire need of a solution. And I just don't want to look at the short-term solution and not long-term, because maybe we might do another expense where long-term, that short-term expense, we could have looked at it as a long-term solution. And that's my concern.
Well, when we do the proposal, that's why I want a little more guidance from you, so we can focus on the scope of work, so we're really asking them what we want them to do, not just give them a broad, because they're going to come in with both barrels and they're going to hit us with all kinds of ideas. So.
And looking at what Dr. Murphy presented, it looks realistic. It's not, you know, just give them.
So if we can kind of focus on those four items, I think that would help us out more than if we just leave it abroad. But I do think we should wait till we get the RFQ and get the interviews done for the architect, so we can get some advice from them.
Okay.
And just see what becomes of it.
Okay, then I'm okay with that.
But I don't know if we can wait long enough to replace that pump for that.
A question to the chair.
Ernesto, the pump that you were going to purchase, is it the same brand as the one that died? Do you know?
I'm trying to remember who the.
I'm just trying to. Is it a twin of the one that's?
It's a twin. Yes.
They're not replacing.
But they're not replacing.
They're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not even a difference.
It's not even a difference.
And it's already been engineered for that system, so
yeah.
When it was put in, so it's
parts that have to be.
There was like two or three items, right?
No, actually, okay. Let me step back on that. You're right. We were talking about that pump that was damaged, and in order for it to, and the reason it got damaged was because right now it doesn't cycle, okay, between one and the other, okay, and this one was running for 5 years by itself, okay, taking care of everything, and the other items that were needed in there were modulators for those pumps. Now the modulators, what it does is something that was in the contract originally when you all were building the school, but it was value engineered out, which was a mistake.
We ran out of money.
It was that, and it was taken out of the. In other words, it was a piece that
actually
was removed.
It wasn't. It was part of a bigger picture than just a value engineer, right?
Yeah, I don't know the whole story of it.
Well, they put in a certain product and exchanged it midway between the project.
Well, that, and we also didn't, we initially proposed to have the computer system for doing exactly what right. we were going to do, and that was $500,000 that we just didn't have.
Right.
And then we had to cut out other parts, including right. the field house. I don't want the field house, the bleachers.
We ran out of money.
On the other stuff that you were looking at purchasing, I mean, if it's just rebuilding, I don't have a problem with rebuilding.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also that modulator that was already part of the plans initially that was never installed.
Yes.
But it could be part of the bigger picture.
No, it's got to be in there.
Yeah.
Period.
That's what didn't protect this thing from happening. That's what didn't protect the heat pumps from. That's why the heat pumps just went, because they were functioning by themselves, and they were not modulated. And remember, I described the analogy of going at 100 miles an hour, and they were and they didn't need to be at 100 miles an hour. They could start. You start something at 15 miles an hour, and then it goes up in speed, and then it goes down when it's not needed. Well, these, when you turn them on, you turn them on at 100 miles an hour. And that motor, that pump, just gave up. And when it gave up, it allowed water to get into the coils, which froze the coils and damaged the heat pumps. That was one reason behind it. Then downstairs, where the pumps are that bring in the water from the wells, that's what's happening also. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of them had already given up before, some years ago before I came in here, and I think it was replaced. And not replaced, but rebuilt.
So.
But there would be a need, as you say, there, and as you all are thinking, that for these people to come in and still do an RFQ to enhance these things. Because they were talking about enhancing and saving us more money. And there's that window there. There's opportunity there for them. They can come in and enhance these systems.
Okay, then I guess, so we could just move on. We'll go with the RFQs under the architect, try to get that out within that timeline, present that to us, and then look at going out for the RFQs within the next couple of months to get it out. And I'll be comfortable with the sooner the better.
And Mr. Chair, could we possibly, I guess we can put the pumps back on the agenda for Wednesday night as an action item?
We can. I mean, I don't know how it will.
No, we don't know how it will, but I'd like to have that.
Okay.
Put back on, and let's see how it goes again.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And in the meantime, we can start whittling down the scope, and I can start putting some stuff in the Friday packet for you with some new information that I get, and we can start try to tailor this RFQ to what we're
looking. And I think we're looking at December, maybe the next couple of months after that, maybe January, February.
I think we can get that.
Okay.
Of course, December is going to be a short month, too. So.
Yeah.
Probably January would be a good time, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Next item. Are we okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Next item, 2I, update on wastewater plant.
Dr. Murphy, if you could just support me on this, because we were in this meeting, so is this just as a matter of information? We had met with the people from the PSB, from the Public Service Board, Mr. Archuleta and his engineers, regarding the wastewater treatment plant and possible connection to a sewer system. Their recommendation to us was that the sewer line be engineered so it would run under the river and over to Donovan to a station that they have over at Donovan right now, the one that's currently serving the new subdivision,
Rasset Homes.
And in the conversation with the Public Service Board, they told us that the cost for this sewer line would be $1.5 million. That is the cost. Now, part of their $1.5 million was starting the sewer line from where the old administration building was, and they thought that we were going to connect at that point, but we really need to, we really don't need to go that far back, so really it's not, it, you know, it might be a whole lot less on that. Now this sewer line is going to be a 6-inch or 8-inch line, I think, that they have sized, which means that eventually it would be able to handle some of the area neighborhoods in there in the future, okay? But we're not going to pay for that. We're just going to pay for our portion. And of course, the number was 1.5. They told us that that they were ready, that the minute that the board approved us going to meet with them and start the contracting and all that for this line, that they would be ready to start the engineering design for it and then put it out to bid. And according to them, it's going to come in within that $1.5 million cost. So we're bringing it to you as information and maybe some direction as to whether you want us to present it to the board for approval in order for us to go to them and give them the green light to proceed with the design, the engineering design, and with bidding on it.
And then to add to that, in the 2011 bond, in DC 2011, we allocated $2.5 million. Now, the savings isn't going to be a pure $1 million because we do have to dismantle and take apart the current plant. But, proud to say and great news, there's going to be significant savings, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars in savings to this project. The PSB were very accommodating, and we look forward to working with them. They want to do a great job out in our area. They talked about not only our project, but several projects that they have on the books that they want to move toward. And so they're going to be accommodating, and they're not going to, ream us on the cross side. So that's going to be great.
Ms. Dentos, I have a question for Dr. Murphy. Dr. Murphy, this is not on the agenda, but it is to do with the Public Service Board. They will have the maps.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. They will have all the maps.
Any other questions? Let's keep that. I have one question. The PSB is working on my street in Strahan. They closed it up. Do you know how long? Is that the PSB?
No, it's not the PSB. What they're doing is they're going to build homes down the road on Strahan, and they're dewatering that area, and they're putting it back into the river. That's all they're doing. But it has nothing to do with PSB.
They've had it closed.
Yeah, they have to dewater it to where they can build their pads and all. But it has nothing to do with PSB.
Do you know how many homes are coming?
We can find out. We can ask. And, we just. In fact, Bobo was telling me he was out there looking for a pipe, and he found out that they were dewatering in that area, and that's how we came across finding out what they were doing.
Dr. Murphy, could we please get the plan of that?
Yes, ma'am.
And all these other maps that we're asking for.
Mr. Chair. Seeing that the wastewater is on project 2, which is pretty much here now, I think we ought to put this on an immediate agenda item sometime quickly here, and so we can have the board make a decision and direct administration to go ahead and do that.
All right, I'll work with Mr. Blanco tomorrow morning to find out exactly what that motion would be. We'll bring it for Wednesday.
I really think we need to get out of the wastewater treatment business.
There you go.
Really quick. Sure.
And I guess I was out for a bit, but is this the optimal solution to go under the river?
according to them, it is, the reason being is that, you know, there was the other option that's going across over to the new subdivision that's along, that's about 2.5 miles that I brought up in our meeting. I said, there's a sewer line about 2.5 miles or more down the road.
More
the problem is that you're dealing with so many entities. You're going to be dealing with a lot of other entities, and you'd have to actually close down Bosque the minute that you have they start digging. And that's something that they say we don't want to even get near that. And it would take a long time to convince the people along Bosque, especially on towards Strahan, that they'll allow them to be closed out of their residences. So, and in fact, they told us that cost would be higher than the 1.3 than going under the river. I was surprised at that, Mr. Rodriguez. When I was talking to them about when we were, and they said that it would be cheaper for them to go under. And to Mr. Archer, that it didn't seem like a big deal.
Nope.
He says we've done that two or
three
times.
Didn't blink an eye about going under the river.
Yeah, he said that. He says, well, it's not a big deal.
It's not a river, it's a iPad.
can I say something to Mr. We will get out of the wastewater treatment work, but we will always have wastewater. Unfortunately, we're in the lower valley part of the, and we'll always have our lift station. No matter what, even in Atlanta, we still have two. We have one lift station there. Then we have two at CMS, one at Garcia, and then you have one at Bill Shores.
Maybe you know this.
Yes.
Where our wastewater treatment plant is located now?
Yes.
In front of CMS?
Yes.
Is that our problem?
No, ma'am. We've been renting that. We've been leasing it to the PSB for, I think it's $3,000 a year. And maybe we could even sell our wastewater treatment plant.
Yeah, it's a possibility that somebody's willing to buy that plant and fix it up. And, yeah.
Usually
second home.
Yeah. It'll be the third home because we bought it used.
Yeah, third home.
We bought it used.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all of them have this potential. The steel itself.
Vacation property.
It's worth something.
Goes in the surplus then?
No, exactly.
We advertise.
Somebody will buy it for the cost
a
of
good
being rare.
A
and
good
then
use
we break
wastewater
even.
Treatment plant available.
Yeah, we'll advertise it.
Thank you. Okay. I hand it over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Mendoza. And I guess I will take us to next.
Pablo, thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate it very much. We got one more.
Next item 2J, bond project update.
And what we all have the bond projects. I want to thank Mr. Armendariz, the detail and the stuff that was put in. It gives me a better understanding of the first 21 bond projects and across the board. So I'll go with questions. If anybody has questions, under Ms. Quintana, do you have any questions?
No, this is real self-explanatory when you look at it.
And Ms. Mendoza, any
questions? I really like the cost savings at the end.
Oh.
Mr. Armendariz, I'd really love to see that. Thank you.
And Ms.
I am so impressed. This is excellent. I mean, every question any of us could have to ask.
Well,
And if you could just keep it
consistent.
Yeah, don't break the chain.
No.
Don't break the chain.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. Dr. Murphy had a lot of to do with this.
Well, excellent.
Back and forth.
Yeah. Well, how about Maria?
Yeah, Maria.
Maria, everybody, teamwork here.
Maria.
It came out really well. I'm very impressed, and all my questions are answered. I like the priority line also, low, high, medium priority.
5 for 5 on the savings.
Yeah.
And the intent is to carry it on to 2 and 3.
Yeah, I'm very impressed. Thank you.
Mr. Coronado? No? Ms. Concessions?
No, thank you.
And I guess I don't have any questions. You want to go
kidding.
To the next item?
Can I say something?
Well, it's self-explanatory.
It's good.
Can I ask a question? Ernesto, can you give us an update on the roofing project at Canyon Town Middle School? It was a project that the board was very concerned about. What item is that on here?
Oh, that's number 9 at the very bottom.
Very bottom, third, second to the bottom.
Second to the bottom. That is actually, they finished the punch list 2 days ago. I still need to go tomorrow to see if they, if the punch list is too much to our liking. So it's there. Although that work is done for the board's information, we're still, the district, our public maintenance people are going to go in there and do some interior painting, and we're going to change some of the lighting in there and put in a new air conditioner. Now, one thing that I did do is I removed the air conditioners, the tiny air conditioners that were at the top, which were already corroded. We removed them. I designed it such that the air conditioner would be at the bottom and you'd be providing a vap cooling into the building.
I have a question. Is that the air conditioner that was on the warrant list for almost $9,000?
No, that air conditioner is for Northwest.
Northwest.
That's okay. That's for the for one of the portables.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had the insides of that air conditioner burn up, and it burned up all the wiring, and so we had to purchase a that's a refrigeration unit.
Actually, I do have a couple of questions now. looking at, especially on that project, the cost to date, I thought that $77,000 was a projected cost for that project.
It was. We went through two board meetings on that.
The projected cost was $77,000, correct?
It wasn't a projected. It was a solid number.
Well, that okay, so. Have we encumbered the full cost?
That's it.
We've encumbered the full cost, then why is there a balance under it?
Current balance? That's how much money is left. That's going to be common. That's once that's completed, it becomes a savings.
How much savings?
The savings is $52,000.
Wow. So. Can we revisit?
And it's not a Mercedes, Dr. Murphy.
And I guess the question I have is, how much have we encumbered out of the $77,000? Because have we paid that full amount?
No, sir.
Then
it says encumbered because we set it aside. What they do is, I don't pay them until.
But the encumbrance would be till paid, right? Till we've encumbered it.
In other words,
I guess the thing is, on the next one, can we just put the projected cost and then what we've encumbered on that?
It's true because it says here current to date and then it says current balance. So,
if we could get those a projected cost, because that's a projected cost and that's this money we've set aside, but we need to know how much we've encumbered. So that way we know we haven't paid the full project till the punch list is done and all that other stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do.
Okay.
We'll do. We'll do that.
Okay, and that's it. So that's all I have. And the next item?
Adjournment.
Next item, 2K, report on concrete for lift stations.
Okay.
Keep it rolling.
Do we have any questions or what's...
This was just brought to the board for information because it was so close to the 10,000 that we wanted the board to know that we do have pricing on it. We did go to three vendors to get some pricing on it, and it came at the low value because you got all those numbers.
I don't have a limit, but I think the low was like $9,300, and the top was $18,000. I think the middle was 98. That was the middle.
Where are we going? And the ones you all are going? The SAMs? Right. Have you all dealt with SAMs, or are you more comfortable?
Yes, the district used to use SAMs construction a lot. I've used them a couple of times in concrete throughout the district.
And they're capable?
Yes, they did the one at Garcia Elementary.
Okay. I don't have a problem with
that. We wanted to just bring this to the board because it's going to be, you'll see it on the warrant list, be $9,800 or $93,000, you know, and that always raises eyebrows. So we just wanted to let you know in advance.
Well, I'm just glad that we got the three quotes, not bids, so that way we're able to
know. I just have this question.
Sorry.
Is that the one that was used for at the middle school too? Not for a lift station, but for any other, some other concrete work?
Who?
This company?
Yeah, He was used at, even before we started, they used it to remodel, I think, some restrooms in Davenport and some other areas.
No, I'm referring to concrete.
Concrete, I used them at Garcia Elementary.
Not Canotillo Middle School?
Canotillo Middle School. No, we haven't thrown any concrete out there. We use High Ridge. That was High Ridge.
Okay, thank you.
And now I'll take us to the next item.
Community input.
Mr. Flores?
No?
Okay. I guess anybody else? No? I'll take us to the next agenda item.
Current state projected cost and covered.
This is a projected cost. So if we pay, let's say we made a payment of $25,000, and that's what
so this is our notice.
So you want to project it in the current state, yeah, because our budget.
And yeah, we'll get that into the morning.
So you need, what we need to ask is project.
And yeah, we'll get that. Oops.